Only God sees the full picture, the complete picture. All we see is parts of the picture. The core of the gospel parable this morning is also found in the Isaiah passage. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways." Try as we may, it is impossible to justify the payment of the workers in the vineyard in ordinary social terms. It could hardly be said to be fair. Yes, the owner is generous to the last comers. But why is he not as generous to the others as well? It is simply that there is no reckoning up just deserts when man encounters God. In our Lord's time, Judaism had reached a legalized state, and the mentality was prevalent that salvation could and must be earned. There were, as the rabbis counted them, 613 commands in the Old Testament which must be fulfilled. And the people were divided into two classes: the righteous, who were on the road to salvation by fulfilling those 613 commands, and the unrighteous, the outcasts, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, those despised by those who kept the law. It was this sort of slot machine conception of God that Jesus opposed by his emphasis on love. For in love, there is no calculation of duties, rights, and obligations. There is only an open-handed giving without counting the cost and a grateful receiving. We can never say that we have earned our salvation or anything else from Almighty God, but we can only stand as sinners seeking forgiveness before Him. The latest workers in the vineyard have not earned what the owner gives them, and the mistake of their envious colleagues is to think that they can deserve more from the owner. Devout Christians may find it hard to stomach that someone who repents on his or her deathbed is admitted to the kingdom of God no less than those who have struggled and suffered all their lives for doing what is right. But this would presuppose a commercial attitude of reward and punishments with Almighty God, and it neglects the radical nature of God's love. The relationship of the believer to God must be personal. And as such, it is its own reward, for it brings about its own happiness also in this life. And that's what we're trying to tell people. Not just about the fire insurance for the next life, but the genuine joy that following Christ brings in this life. The greater struggle, the more a Christian turns to God and finds comfort in the security of His love. Also, fidelity through a long life does bring some advantage over, say, a skimpy final conversion, for it may well be that the relationship of love has so deepened over the years that the Christian faithfully following Jesus Christ has more capacity for the full enjoyment of God's company than the one who comes to know God only at the last moment. Hence, some have said, this life is simply practice for the next. This life, the life we lead as faithful Catholic Christians, is simply practice for the next life. Here it is, not a matter of God giving a greater reward, but the person who has known God in this life being more capable of receiving and rejoicing in the next. Of this relationship with God, St. Paul was a shining example. While threatened with persecution, he is filled with the joy of Jesus Christ. His life is already united with Christ's life, and he longs for the final fulfillment of that union with God. What Catholic theology has come to call the beatific vision, the vision of the very source of all creation, the face of Almighty God. The parable of the vineyard workers is not a blueprint for labor relations. We've got to be clear about that. But it illustrates very well Jesus' teaching about grace and about mercy. There are consequences to be drawn, and in the joy of the gospel, which is a book written by Pope Francis. Francis says, the church must be a place of mercy, freely given, where everyone can feel welcomed, loved, forgiven, and encouraged to live the good life of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, at this time, I'd like to ask all those who are going to be serving as catechists in our parish to please stand right where you are. All the catechists. Yeah, we've got several in the back. And I want to offer this prayer for all catechists. Blessed are you, Lord God, King and ruler of heaven and earth. Through your Son, you have brought us salvation, and in the Holy Spirit, you lead us to all truth. In your mercy and love, help these women and men who are prepared to help your people to grow in faith. Give them your blessing and cleanse their hearts, so that they may proclaim your word in their daily lives. Help them to be women and men of faith and prayer, guided by your Spirit and filled with your love. Let them share their faith and love with their families, with their friends and with their students here at St. Cyril's, at home, in the classroom, and in our community. May their words and their lives lead your people to stronger faith and love. Through their work, may your kingdom come among us and lead us to serve you each day. Gracious God, listen to our prayer, which we offer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, they may be seated, and I'm going to ask, this gets a little complicated, parents, step-parents, custodial parents, non-custodial parents, grandparents, godparents, aunts, uncles, older siblings, and any other relationship that might be out there for adults to be involved with the catechetical preparation of children. If you fall into one of those categories, parents, godparents, grandparents, step-parents, aunts, uncles, please stand. And I want you to look at each other, and I want you to remember that you are the very first catechists in the lives of your children, stepchildren, grandchildren, godchildren, nieces, nephews, all those wonderful relationships. Lord Jesus, light of the world and Savior of all, you have been sent by God to be our teacher, our Lord, and our brother. Give your special blessing to these men and women who dedicate their lives as parent figures to your children. Guide them in their work and in their care for their children, and help them to remember that they are the very first teachers of the faith. May they guide their children to holiness by word and by example. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us all stand.